really excited to be here to talk about the project that's closest to my heart right now at my work. And I have to say that I'm really presenting on behalf of me and my partners at UCLA Labor Occupational Safety and Health Program. This has been a partnership project between our two organizations, and really everything that I'm going to tell you about was developed by Carol Frischman and myself and Aleda Moran, and then Laura Podolsky helped us with the evaluation. We were hoping she'd be presenting this to you today, but she got accepted to law school, so she's a little busy and couldn't come. So I'm happy to be able to present. So the basic idea with this academy is that we bring young people together to teach them a little bit about workplace health and safety on the job, help them think about how to address this issue at not just at the workplace level, but at a community level, give them some actual practice to start figuring out ways they can address it in their own communities, and then sort of our long-term goal is, you know, is this a way to help develop young leaders who can be spokespeople on this issue in the long run? And it is a partnership project. It's administered and funded by our Commission on Health and Safety and Workers' Compensation, which is part of our Department of Industrial Relations. And their staff have, in addition to funding it, their staff have also been very involved in helping us develop the academy and participating at the academy. And it's actually now been integrated into their statewide worker occupational safety and health training and education program, or WOSHTEP program. In addition to UCLA and us, we also work very closely with the California Center for Civic Participation, which is a group with expertise in youth development, and they do academies like this on other public health issues to help bring young people into the policy arena on these issues. So they helped us develop the initial agenda, and this is going to be our first year flying solo without them at the academy, so I think we're ready. And as I said, our main funding comes from the commission, but we've also, it's not quite enough money, so we each year go begging for more funding and have gotten help from several workers' comp insurance funders and a couple of private foundations. So the academy itself, get to turn my pages here, is essentially a three-day event, and it's full of participatory activities for young people to learn about health and safety, public policy, and practicing planning. They attend the academy in teams of 3 to 4 youth along with an adult sponsor. The adult sponsors do some of the activities together with the youth. Well, sometimes we separate them off to do their hazard mapping together or whatever. But then we also pull them out for their own separate sessions where, well, I'll tell you more about that in a bit. We pull them out. And then in addition, since we're now in our this will be our fourth year, we are able to bring back young people who participated in the past as youth mentors, and they actually help lead some of the activities. In terms of recruitment, I passed out our current flyer and the application just in case you're curious. If you're not from California, we don't fly people from out of state, unfortunately. But basically, our main recruitment is through this one listserv that one of our partners in our statewide partnership has a great listserv that reaches a lot of youth-serving organizations in our state, and then it kind of trickles down from there. And we're not looking for a huge response. We can really only accommodate about 50 youth each year. We do two different academies, so we don't want to get a lot more than what we do get. So we get about twice as many who apply than we're able to serve. And then we select those teams primarily looking for diversity in terms of what kind of community they're coming from, where they live in the state, and also diversity of experience. So about half the kids have some work experience, but that's not a requirement for coming to the academy. And many of them have not had any kind of leadership experience. This is not really an academy for the president, student body president, those kind of folks. So it's really an opportunity for leadership development. Why do they come? What we've been told is the youth leadership piece of it is a big draw, both for the kids who are trying to get some things on their resumes or for college applications, and also for the adults who are sort of nudging them to come. They see this as an opportunity. It's also, they don't have to do fundraising in order to attend. It's an all-expenses-paid event. And then we provide a $75 stipend at the end of the academy, or not at the end, at the end, after they've done their community activity. And then also we found, we didn't initially do it on the UC campus, but we found that that was a big draw, that they got to come to a UC campus to participate in this. So now that's where we hold it. So we've conducted a total of 5 of these academies. We now do 2 every year, 1 at UCLA and 1 at UC Berkeley. We've had 112 total who have participated, and 15 of them have returned as youth mentors at least once. The teams come from schools, so like a work experience teacher will pull together some kids from her program. Someone will bring a group of voc ed students in a particular voc ed program. There are different kinds of leadership programs on campus, and we have a lot of teams coming from alternative schools. We also have community-based teams, so you know, environmental and community justice coalitions, community-based job training programs that sometimes also have youth leadership or youth development programs attached to them, church-based programs, and Girl Scout troops. We haven't had any Boy Scout troops apply yet, but we've had a couple Girl Scout troops. So the academy itself, it's, as I mentioned before, it's sort of a jam-packed agenda. We've learned, even though they complain every year that it's too full, our youth development people said, keep it really full, keep them tired. So we do that. So they do, you know, hazard mapping to learn about identifying hazards. They play the safety pyramid game to learn about how to control those hazards. And that's the one in the bottom there. You can see it's being led by 2 of our youth mentors. They play the Jeopardy game to learn about their rights on the job, including protections for teens under the child labor laws, as well as health and safety protections. Again, you can see these are being led by our youth mentors. Plus, they get a little bit of history about where these protections come from, what the working conditions were like, really little bit, before these laws were in place. And then finally, role plays to practice kind of putting that information into place. In addition, we found that they really wanted more concrete information, so we've integrated 2 opportunities for them to actually talk to workers before they come. As part of, after they've been accepted, we ask them to interview a teen worker before, we send them a little questionnaire ahead of time, and they all come having interviewed at least 1 teen worker. It can just be a friend of theirs or whoever. So then we discuss what they found. Here you can see they're learning that very few of them have gotten health and safety training. And then during the academy itself, we set up interviews with them in some local workplaces where they go and do their best to interview an employee. Sometimes it doesn't quite work out the way we anticipated, but they've been very creative about that. And then in terms of policy, this is where our other partner, the California Center, has helped us out. They do a nice role play where the kids actually simulate somewhat being legislator or the 2 legislative bodies where they have to make difficult decisions and argue about priorities in the community and, you know, what do you do if you have a limited budget. So they kind of start to get a sense of how do you have to deal with things at not at the individual level but at the policy or community level. And then, oh, they also have opportunities throughout the academy to start thinking about their own ideas for how to apply policy, education, and media strategies that might play a role in protecting and educating youth. Yeah, okay. And then finally, they actually have an opportunity to practice planning and an activity that they've selected from those strategies that they've built during the academy. Each group presents their plan to an expert panel that includes one of the youth mentors from their experience from the year before, and then also a couple of adults from usually from government agencies who are part of our statewide partnership, so they get a sense of real-life feedback and suggestions from this panel. And then they start planning their own teams, their community activities. And then we also have learned that we have to have fun. We knew that, sort of, but every year we add more and more icebreakers and energizers and fun things to do, because we found that the quicker they kind of get to know each other and the more fun they're having, the more they actually learn from the content that we're trying to get across, and the more enthusiastic they are about the whole academy and the experience. And we also now have an improv performer who leads a workshop during the academy to sort of get them more used to. It's not a formal public speaking training. It's a lot more fun than that. And then this year, I think this is the first year, this past year, that we've had enough past youth who we were able to have six-person teams at each of our academies with our youth mentors. So they really did lead all of the health and safety activities, and they also they led a lot of the icebreakers, and they started planning some of their own projects to help us figure out ways to keep them connected in the future. At the adult sessions, we talk a lot about what our expectations are for the adults, both at the academy, but in particular once they get back in the community. And we talk about what they might, or try to find out from them what would help them be successful. And they all have a lot of expertise, so we mostly create opportunities for them to share ideas with each other about how do you keep your kids going when things start to flag, how do you get it going again. So those are great sessions for all of us. So what are the results? 3 minutes. Okay. They did a lot of great activities. So I'm going to flip down. They've done lots of different kinds of materials. Got one little sample, this pocket card. One of them developed brochures, PowerPoints, etc. They've done various school activities, like a week-long session. Where every lunchtime they had activities going on in the lunch place. Another group did a poster contest. They've done actually policy work at the school level, where they've gotten their school to require that kids take a quiz before they get their work permit. That's a policy solution. They've gone to different fairs. They've done work with the media, gotten on the radio, done some video PSAs. And I'm going to skip on to what we did to evaluate. It's primarily qualitative evaluation, where we do a written and sort of just discussion at the end of each academy, as well as last year what Laura did was some more in-depth interviews with the academy participants. And that's mostly to help us improve the academy itself each year. Really, the most important part for us are the written evaluations after they go back and do their community activities. And what we found from that is that the academy works, at least from what we're looking for, is can they go back and actually do something in their community? And to date, 28 of the 30 teams we've worked with have successfully conducted activities in their community. When we add up all the numbers they report to us, that means they collectively reached over 4,000 youth. 15 of them have come back as mentors, so we think that's an indication of it being a positive experience. And then we're just getting into this, you know, how do we keep them connected? They have a MySpace site that's not really well used yet. Those are our future plans, which we are going to do guidelines. So if anyone's interested in guidelines for doing this in your own state, give me your card afterwards. Lessons learned. We've learned that it's important to make sure we're not getting all seniors, because that increases the chance that they'll actually keep doing the thing in their community that they tried that year. Also means they might come back as a youth mentor. It's really important to let them know how much work it's going to be to go back to their community and conduct this activity. We think we say it, but every year they need to hear it again or more. And I think the most challenging thing for us is finding a way to really get that last goal of how do we help this group become an ongoing network of health and safety advocates. And that's a piece that I feel like we haven't really cracked yet. So in conclusion, just want to say that this has really become one of the most rewarding parts of my work, and it's just amazing to see these young people arrive kind of a little skeptical. Some of them have been sort of not quite dragged there, but, you know, encouraged to come. And they're not really that enthusiastic. And by the end of the academy, they're exchanging emails with each other. They're, you know, reporting excitedly about the huge project they're going to go back to their community and do. And then they go back and do, you know, 20% of that. And it's great. It's really exciting.